Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Tommy, here's your sword. And James, the birthday boy, here's your dog. Now then, kids, that's almost it from me. But I've got time for just one more. Who's he going to be? Dad?
Yeah. Can you make the Palace of Versailles complete with ornate gardens?
Like getting your money's worth? Try our Mayo Chicken, made using only tasty chicken breast meat. Just 99p from the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
Wade, it opens wide for Wade. What a dunk! Fournier blocked his dunk!
Here's Wade against Green.
Euro step. Basket.
Podcast. My name is Wes Goldberg. Joining me on the other line, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I bet you don't know why I'm feeling so good about myself right now.
Ooh, mystery. Why?
Why? Because we're going to be discussing the point guard situation and the opportunity to discuss the best point guard in Miami Heat history.
Mario Chalmers?
Absolutely. I knew you'd know that. For most of our listeners, they probably aren't aware of how much we appreciate Mario Chalmers and what's likely to be a Hall of Fame career. But we are big fans of his and his commitment and his just incredible talent and drive. And, you know, any opportunity to talk about the impact of Mario Chalmers is a good one.
There was a time when we were starting off this podcast, and I don't know if the listeners know this, I don't know if we ever told them, that we almost just named it the Mario Chalmers Podcast. I mean, that's a true story.
We just couldn't get him to sign up on the sponsorship efforts. But, you know, I think he would have been willing to do so. But, you know, he was busy with the whole seeking out a title and the big three. And
right.
Maybe he didn't want to, you know.
Leading LeBron to two name. Championships, yada, yada, yada.
Exactly. You know, he's had enough on his plate. Maybe he didn't want to commit his time and resources to our podcast. We don't hold it against him. We're always big fans of his here in the Heat Check podcast.
Absolutely. Friend of the show. So this is the point guard position preview. We're going to talk about Chalmers. We're going to talk about, Udrih. We're going to talk about Tyler Johnson in this podcast. And we're going to talk about Goran Dragic. We've already done shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center. So if you haven't listened to those, either pause this and go back and listen to those, or just listen to this and then go back and listen to those. It doesn't really matter what order you listen to them in. But just those are some options for you, I guess. Do you have a recommendation of what order they should listen to them in?
No, I think they should listen to them all over and over again. I think that's the best
multiple
strategy.
Times. I like that. Just repeat. Just binge and repeat.
Yeah, just leave it playing in the background, whether you're listening to it or not, or invite family and friends, you know, have a big listening party. The way people get together to watch The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones on Sunday, make it Heat Check Sunday. I don't see why not. Have a few drinks. Maybe for every time I sound redundant or repeat myself, you take a shot, something along those lines. Make a drinking game out of it. I don't see why not.
We could definitely do a drinking game. Every time I pause to think about what I want to say, just take a shot.
I'm drinking right now.
Perfect. All right. So let's just get into it. Goran Dragic signed to an $84 million max-ish kind of deal. Big deal, right? Last
yes.
offseason, the Heat traded for him, two first-round picks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't really live up to the hype last season. Delivered in the playoffs, I think, surprisingly. I mean, he got his tooth knocked out, his face punched in, just got beat up unbelievably, and continued to deliver for the Heat in the playoffs as much as he could. After the season, and this is to me what's interesting, and you could stop me if you want to talk about last season at all, but I think we've covered it quite a bit. But after the season was over, Pat Riley talked about Goran Dragic, and the organization kind of spoke about what the future of Goran Dragic with the Heat would be. And they basically said, yeah, we do want to play fast. We want to play, but we're not going to be able to do that all the time. And you, Goran Dragic, being you, needs to be able to figure out how to perform regardless of the system. You're an all-star player. We shouldn't have to play fast for you to play like an all-star. And to some extent, I agree. To the other extent, I think that the Heat should be playing fast because that's a lot of what their personnel is going to be good at and kind of what the NBA is trending towards. Not kind of, is what the NBA is trending towards. If the NBA Finals taught us anything, that's certainly true. But I guess your general reactions, David, on what do you think? Do you think that the Heat, or do you think that Dragic can thrive with the Heat? Do you think that we, do you think that this kind of project, this Dragic project, is done? Is this what we're going to get from Dragic, or do you still think there's room for improvement?
I think there is. I think he could get a little bit more consistent, and you know, we saw some great moments from him in the playoffs, like you alluded to, and I think there's a potential for him to be a little bit more consistent and take it to that next level where he can perform at an all-star level. I think he has the capacity, the talent, the ability. And so, I mean, I'm actually a big fan of his. I understand that maybe he underperformed a little bit based on his contract, but it's a little weird seeing the kind of vitriol that's directed in Dragic's way. And, you know, even as recently as last week, when the possibility of signing Kevin Durant as a free agent came into play, that maybe trading Goran Dragic was an option. And this is a guy who's done nothing but sacrifice himself and joined his team. And yeah, he signed a big contract. So clearly he's making some good money here. But, you know, he's played very hard for this team. He's done everything he could. Maybe he came in a little out of shape at the start of the season. Maybe he was a little out of his comfort zone and not able to necessarily get in sync with the rest of his teammates. But as the season progressed, he continued to do so as well. And we saw him reach a very high level as far as his production is concerned during the playoffs. So I think we'd like to see that more consistently, as is Riley's want. He challenges players at the end of the season during his, you know, press conference, and he issued his proclamation about Dragic and wanting to take it to the next level. I think, as you and I talked about during the shooting guard, positional breakdown, we want to see Dragic possibly shoot a little bit more consistently and better from the three-point range. I think that's a big step that'll open up the floor. He gets plenty of looks, and we saw him pass those up because that is a strength of his, being able to get past a defender and find a way to squeeze through defenses. You know, he's very good at finding those spots and using timing the way his mentor Steve Nash used to get a good look or a nice floater off the rim. And he's very good at doing that in the playoffs, and we'd like to see that more consistently, I think.
And Riley did say, like, he kind of challenged Dragic not only to be able to play within himself within any system, but also to just raw percentages. He wanted him to be a 40-50, 88 type player, meaning 40% from the 50% from the field, 40% from three-point range, and 88%. It's usually the 50-40-90 club, but he said, I'll give you 2 percentage points off because you're going to be banging with big guys down low. You're going to be beat up. I'll give you 2 percentage points off on your free throws. Just because you play a physical game. So that was a nice concession for Riley to do.
But, and Nash was able to achieve that feat twice during his career, right? I think at least twice, maybe. Okay. So, I mean, if he's the model for which Dragic has kind of patterned his game after, it's not unrealistic for Riley to think that he can reach those levels.
An uber-efficient type of player who can shoot at a high percentage and get his teammates involved in a good way. I think that's the model for Dragic. And one thing that I keep thinking about when it comes to chemistry is how the Heat looked, particularly in the playoffs, where it was just one guy that had to step up, right? Like, everybody played to their averages, and as long as one guy stepped up, they had a chance. And that's generally how they won games. At first, it was Luol Deng in that Charlotte series. Then it was Dwayne Wade, and then it was Goran Dragic. And that's kind of what the Heat had to do, and the offense never really, other than with the exception of those first two Charlotte games, where they were getting up and running down the court,
right,
they never really looked like they were playing as a team, like they weren't playing together. They were basically just taking guitar solos over and over again. And that got them through a weak East and got them to play 14 games in a weak Eastern Conference playoff. But it's not going to work if the goal is to compete for a championship or to compete with LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's not going to work. But at the same time, the Heat were very much like that in 2010. And not to compare the two teams, but it is kind of similar when you just bunch a couple stars together and say, all right, there's not really a way that this looks right, maybe, like, other than the fact that there's a lot of talent on this team. We're going to figure out the chemistry part later. And it took them a while to do it. Basically, a year and a half it took for them to figure it out. So, yeah, the Heat had a year and a half with Wade and Dragic because Dragic came after the trade deadline 2 years ago. But that doesn't, like, that's in the middle of the year, so you can't really count that. So, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is, after the year, maybe now they stumble onto a way to make all of these pieces work. And I've been, I guess, not high on the chemistry of this team. I like the players. I like Whiteside, Dragic, Bosch, Wade, obviously, all those guys. The players are great in and of themselves, but I don't know how it fits together. But that's not really my job to figure out. That's Spoelstra's job.
Are you high still on Dragic as part of this team? Or do you think that it's better for Miami to possibly find some way to move on from him?
I think it depends. If Durant wants to sign with Miami, and that's as small as a chance that is, there's still a chance, right? Like, the Heat have a meeting with them, so right. We still have to kind of take that into consideration. So let's, hypothetically, if Durant wants to sign with Miami, you would think that he signs with Miami figuring that Dragic is going to be part of it, and it's going to basically be him and Dragic leading a fast-paced attack. You know, he knows that that's what works. But let's say Durant doesn't. What do the Heat do? What's their plan B? You know, obviously at that point they have to probably reach out to Whiteside and Wade and say, come back, boys, let's do this. Maybe you overpay both of them at that point just to make sure that you don't lose out on both of them just because you lost out on Durant, right?
So maybe that's how about this? If they're able to add Durant, is Miami a better team with Kevin Durant and Goran Dragic or Kevin Durant and, say, Whiteside? And that, this is assuming, of course, that Chris Bosh comes back to full health and is either able to play, let's say, the center position with Durant at the four or the power forward position with Whiteside at center. So
you think it's between Whiteside and Durant or Whiteside and Dragic if Durant signs?
I think if KD wants to sign with Miami, they'd have to find a way to shed some cap space so that they could possibly, you know, let's say bring back Whiteside.
Well, I think
because I think that's more of a, I guess that's a better option, I think, for a guy like Kevin Durant. You know, you want a guy who's a good solid rim protector who can do the things that he does, who can catch the lobs, that, you know, a lot like what Steven Adams was able to do in Oklahoma City. And I think you could possibly slide Josh Richardson into that starting point guard spot and maybe even have a different dynamic that's not necessarily a significant drop off from what Dragic is able to provide. So let's say you're having a starting lineup of Dragic, Wade, KD at the three, Chris Bosh at the four, and Whiteside at the five. Or do you think you'd rather have Dragic starting and then move on from Whiteside, assuming that Chris Bosh can start at the center position the way he did in the big three era?
I think you meant Richardson in your first rendition of that starting lineup, not Dragic, right, as the point guard?
No, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Okay,
yeah,
just wanted to clarify for listeners. But it's an interesting point. I think Richardson offers some things that Dragic doesn't.
Right.
Specifically defensive versatility, which we know just as much as like Steph Curry shooting threes and getting up and down the floor and playing fast took such a big role. That's my phone ringing. I gotta turn that off. Took such a big role in the finals and in the playoffs in general. Defensive versatility, being able to switch positions 1 through 4 and even 5 on some points, was an important thing. And Richardson can do that more than Goran Dragic can. So in that respect, I think it's good. Sorry, I'm going to just text back this person that's calling me, tell them I can't talk right now. I'm recording the Heat Check podcast, don't you know?
Yeah.
So I guess I lost my train of thought there. But
Richardson offers
some positives, but I do think that I just don't see Durant signing with the Heat.
Okay. Fine, but let's say, you know, just wild hypothetical. KD signs. Is Miami better with KD and Whiteside or KD and Dragic?
KD and Whiteside.
I would say so.
Yeah, and then I think you pointed out because they have Richardson. The backup to Whiteside, as we saw against the Raptors, is kind of garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And then, like you said, I think that's a very interesting factor in that, you know, Richardson provides a lot more versatility, particularly defensively. As we talked about in the shooting guard position breakdown, he's able to guard positions 1 through 3. So if you insert Richardson into the starting lineup, you can do a lot more defensively. KD has that versatility where he can guard threes and fives. You know, he can do a lot of different things out there. And then, you know, Whiteside, as good as he is, he's still going to provide that incredible rim protection. I'm sure Richardson could develop the kind of chemistry that Dragic had where he could toss the lob effectively to a guy like Whiteside. So, you know, I could see a package of Dragic and McRoberts maybe moving them somewhere. I don't see any takers for that kind of an interesting, you know, for a package like that. But
well, I don't know. I think Dragic has a really favorable contract when you look at the new salary cap, the spiked salary cap. You're getting somebody that's just a couple of years removed from an all-NBA team and somebody that has all-star potential. And I don't think, even if he's disappointed a little bit with Miami, I don't think executives are so far removed from Goran Dragic in Phoenix that they say, oh, he's washed. I think it's quite clear that it might just not be the right system for him. If there's a team that wants to get out and run and use Dragic, and there's a lot of teams that want point guards, especially in this free agency.
Where Mike I could see Conley Houston as a destination, right?
What?
Houston as a potential destination?
I think Houston is the potential destination. I think it's I was listening to Mark Stein on the Low Post earlier today, actually, on the drive home, and he was talking about how Houston is kind of looking for somebody that can facilitate more, get the ball out of James Harden's hands so much, and be able to drive and kick and do all of those things. And that's interesting. I don't know if that's the right way to go for Houston, but that's another subject. But if that's what they're looking for, that sounds a lot like Goran Dragic. And obviously the Mike D'Antoni connection is there.
I hadn't even considered that. I'd forgotten that D'Antoni was back.
Yeah, and I think that I think that's an interesting thing. I just don't know what the Heat would trade for. Maybe like Patrick Beverley and Trevor Ariza, like a weird package like that. But they wouldn't be saving money with that. Trevor Ariza and Patrick Beverley have pretty substantial contracts. I think if they do that, they ship off Dragic, and that's only with the intention of bringing in another free agent. Durant maybe, or maybe somebody else, maybe a Chandler Parsons, maybe somebody like that, maybe an Al Horford. I don't know, but I think that would be the intent, right? Saying, we got Josh Richardson. We like his versatility that he offers, his three-point shooting certainly that he offers. Let's move Dragic. Let's just take, like, you know, two quarters for the dollar just to at least make clear out the signing, the cap space that we need to make a move and let Riley catch his whale, so to speak. So I think with the market the way it is, Mike Conley being the only named point guard out there, and if he just re-signs with Memphis quickly, which I think a lot of people are expecting, or if he just signs with San Antonio or whatever, and that happens quickly, and then all of a sudden, teams like the 76ers and the Rockets and Utah, even though they just signed George Hill, maybe that doesn't count. Brooklyn, certainly. The Knicks, even though they got Derrick Rose. I don't know. Maybe they're looking for another point guard. Who knows? All of a sudden, these guys don't have point guards, and the Heat might say, like, this is the most opportune time to trade Goran Dragic. This is probably when the market's best. It's a seller's market, and they move him, and then maybe they're able to sign another free agent.
That would be an interesting option.
I think it's possible. I would lean towards Dragic staying. But, I mean, we've seen Riley make moves like this in the past, right? Like, just shipping off Lamar Odom and Caron Butler comes to mind immediately.
Right.
Lamar Odom was only on the Heat for a year. And they moved him. So it wouldn't be maybe so much that Goran Dragic, that project didn't work, but maybe that for a guy like Pat Riley, who's always looking for the next thing, always looking for the next opportunity, and maybe he thinks that there's an opportunity here to jump on, and moving Dragic is the way to do that, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility.
And I've seen, and I don't know if you've seen this as well, but I think I saw some people discussing that if, for whatever reason, Riley can't get a commitment from either Durant or Whiteside, both of them leave via free agency, that then he still has to make a move somehow. He can't just bring back the team as is. Maybe make a move for, say, DeMarcus Cousins and trade a package of McRoberts and Dragic to Sacramento in exchange for Boogie Cousins. That would be a pretty good deal.
I'd say so. All right. I think there's going to be plenty of speculation about trades and such throughout the summer. So let's move on to Tyler Johnson, coming off of a shoulder injury. Looked pretty good in some spot minutes towards the end of the playoffs, and overall I think the Heat have a good view of him, and fans do enjoy Bumpy. But he's a restricted free agent. Somebody can make an offer sheet. Are you at all worried about that?
Absolutely. I think he's gone.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're going to use that poison pill contract, and from the numbers I saw tweeted about earlier today, it's just too rich for Miami's blood. I don't think they can, and I don't think they should commit that kind of money that they're talking about with, like, a potential, what was it, $15, $20 million worth at the end of a third or fourth year contract?
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. That's important.
No, no.
But who do you think would sign him off? Because they have to pay that. They have to pay that.
I don't
contract.
Know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's realistic for any team to offer a guy like Tyler Johnson that. And I love his drive, his grit, his talent, all that. What he can do is impressive, but we haven't seen him be able to do it for a consistent amount of time. It's only his third year in the league. He's suffered some injury setbacks. I mean, this is a guy that, like, for everything that everybody talks about Whiteside collecting this money, Johnson was in the same position, thriving in the D-League a couple years or a year and a half ago, you know. And all of a sudden he came on board at a time when Miami was struggling with playoff positioning and you know, they had a number of injuries. Chris Bosh went down again in the 2014-15 season, and they gave a look to a guy like Johnson. He was able to come in and offer some athleticism and a spark off the bench.
Who do you think steals him away? Because do you think he's gone?
I don't know.
I think there's 29 teams out there and somebody's going to offer him a stupid contract?
Yeah, like last year, I can't help but think of what Portland did regarding Enes Kanter. You know, a divisional rival kind of sticking it to Oklahoma City, knowing that nobody was really seeking a guy like Kanter because of his defensive liabilities. So they offer him this huge max contract, and Oklahoma City was in a position where they had just traded for him and they had no choice but to re-sign him. And so they matched the offer sheet. So I don't know if a team like Charlotte, maybe, who's going to lose
Jeremy Lin. Because, like, obviously Kanter is... The Thunder gave up quite a bit to get Kanter for basically half of a season. They couldn't lose him, right? Like, they gave up too much to get him. They couldn't lose him to free agency.
Would a team try to sign?
Nobody's gonna look at Tyler and be like, "This is how we get back at the Heat. We're gonna sign their third string guard to a poison pill contract." Like, I'm not like Joe Dumars isn't an executive anymore, right?
No, not that I know. I think he's
Billy
out of the
King's
league.
Gone. Like, who's dumb enough to do this?
Michael Jordan in Charlotte?
He's shown that he's been pretty good the last couple of years, but who knows? Crying Jordan can come back.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to lose Jeremy Lin in free agency, right? So maybe you have a guy who can come in and kind of provide a boost with the Kemba Walker, maybe, off the bench. You know,
Charlotte
could...
has shown a weird affinity for white guys.
Well, yeah, didn't they have the Spencer Hawes, Tyler Zeller?
Yeah.
And Frank Kaminsky front court there. I mean, that was – and Tyler Hansborough off the bench, right? I mean, that was – or did I mention him already? I don't know. Either way, it was –
this is the four, yeah.
Yeah, that was – that's a – you don't know that race necessarily played a part of it, but although there was a connection to Duke and or North Carolina, right? That's always a big thing there.
Right. So, anyway.
Maybe a team like Orlando.
What? Orlando.
Maybe a team like Orlando has some free agents. You know, they have some cap space. They've got Frank Vogel there as coach. Maybe they want to bring in a guy like, you know, they just traded away Victor Oladipo. They acquired Serge Ibaka. Maybe they want a guy like that who can kind of boost off the bench. I mean, it's possible. I don't know that they want to throw that kind of money. I don't know why anybody would other than to stick it.
Maybe it wouldn't take that much money for the Heat to say no thanks and walk away from Tyler Johnson. Maybe it would only need to be $4 or $5 million.
What would you think is a fair deal for what Tyler Johnson provides?
$4 or $5 million a year. I think that the scary thing for him is, but he's a 3-and-D type guy. He's young. It's a lot of potential. Very athletic. With this, the way the cap is spiked, I think you could pay him $6 million a year, and he could still outperform that contract if it's a 3 or 4 year deal. By year 3 or 4, he could be much better than that contract, especially with the cap spiking again 2 years from now to what, $104 million is projected. So. I certainly think that's a fair deal. And it's almost a good thing that Johnson got injured in the playoffs. I think that's what scares teams, especially because it's a shoulder injury. So if that's almost working in Miami's favor, is teams might just be like, all right, I'm not taking the risk on, maybe if he was a top 10 pick, if he's a lottery pick, but he's an undrafted free agent, let the Heat have their dude. There's a lot of other free agents that we have to spend our time on. I don't know.
Okay. So you don't think any team's going to try and lure him away from Miami?
I would say there's an 80%. I was 86.5% chance he stays in Miami.
Okay, but you think some team will?
There's a small smidgen of a chance that somebody takes him away because the Heat simply can't afford anything more than what the minimum offer sheet is. They can't.
Which is what? What is the minimum offer sheet?
Off the top of my head, I think it's like $1.8 million, but I could be completely wrong. It's not a lot.
So. So some team is liable to offer him a 4-year deal worth upwards of $20 million, or 20 to 24 million, say.
I think the teams know where the Heat stand as far as their cap goes. So even if another team swoops in and offers him, say, 2.5-3 million a year, that might be too rich for the Heat to match. The Heat really just don't have any room to work on this.
Well, that's scary, isn't it?
It is. Because I think I'm not a cap expert by any means, but maybe we can get somebody that is to clarify for this. If listeners, if you know this, let us know. Tweet us. But I think if no matter the Heat sign him to an offer sheet now, but he's still on hold for like a minimum. He's got like a minimum cap hold, regardless. But if they match an offer, whatever the offer is that they matched now becomes the new contract and such, the new cap hold, what he's worth on, against the cap, so to speak. So. I could be wrong on that, but I believe that's how it works. So, I don't think the Heat can even offer like three. And that maybe that changes if they're able to move McRoberts. If they're in, maybe they say, okay, this will be the guy that we spend our money on. I don't know. Who knows? All right. Mario Chalmers, Beno Udrih. Just got to pour some out for Rio. I know we mentioned him at the beginning. No chance the Heat can sign him back because they traded him. So they can't sign him back for like a full calendar year or some shit like that. But either way, they're not getting him this summer. But I hope he lands somewhere. He suffered that injury. I want him to go somewhere, and I think he will. He'll find a spot. Maybe if it's not at the beginning of the year, I don't know how bad his injury is. But next season, we will see Chalmers. That's a guarantee, right?
Yes, and I'd love to see him in Miami again.
I think there's certainly a possibility, right? After the All-Star break, if he's still fiddling around, I think he can sign or whatever. No, it'd be even sooner than that. We traded him at the beginning of the season. So
Before the All-Star break, so yeah.
And then there's Beno Udrih, who famously said, all right, I'm out. I'll walk myself off the island for the betterment of this team so you can go sign Joe Johnson. It was shocking. It was weird. It reportedly, who was it? Windhorst, I think, reported it.
I think so, yeah. It said, wink, nudge deal.
Yeah, and that like teams were kind of like, hey, what the hell's going on over there? That's kind of screwed up.
Right.
I don't know how the Heat sign Udrih, but I don't know how they don't sign Udrih. And what I mean by that is I don't know how they give Udrih some sort of pay bump, more than he's worth, and stay under the cap. But I also don't know how they don't, because even if it's not true, I think the perception around the league is that they promised him to bring him back on maybe a better contract or a right. long-term deal of some kind. Right. And if they walk away from that promise, that does not look good.
He's an older veteran. You know, he suffered a season-ending injury, but he still played well in some spot minutes. He was able to get more of some more playing time with the injury to Tyler Johnson and when Dragic was out for a while. I mean, I think he was a solid performer there. I think he'd be a good fit here. But you're right. I think it's they're in a tricky position because they kind of have to bring him back because they may or may not have issued some kind of wink wink deal with him and kind of agree to bring him back. So. You figure that something's liable to happen. It doesn't get talked about much because he's, you know, a journeyman point guard. He's played with a number of teams. He's been around the league for a while, and he's not necessarily going to move the needle as far as a big move is concerned. But, he does provide a solid veteran presence, and if Miami did make some kind of arrangement to bring him back, it's weird to think that they might not be able to do so. But we'll never get the full details of that, but we have to imagine that Udrih will probably be in the roster in some capacity next year.
So for our other position previews, we talked a lot about other free agents, but it seems like the guards are kind of set almost. Like I don't really, unless Dragic is traded, like we talked about earlier, I don't really see much changing. I think that if the Heat sign a point guard, it has to kind of be Udrih, right? Like if they don't, that's kind of messed up. Tyler right. Johnson, as I report with full factual knowledge, 86.5% chance he returns to Miami. And Goran Dragic, Dwayne Wade, Josh Richardson, Gerald Green could or may not be back, but basically Wade, Richardson, Dragic, Johnson, Udrih, probably. It looks like it's what it's going to shape out as far as the backcourt goes. Are there any free agents out there, though, that you would maybe not like to see in Miami but think is a real possibility? Or any guards at all, I guess. Doesn't really have to be a point guard. I can't really think of any.
Yeah, after I mean, there's a few names that you'd think that Miami might be willing to take a flyer on. I'm thinking off the top of my head, a guy like Randy Foy, who provides some 3-point shooting, although he kind of struggled in Oklahoma City's system last year.
And then you have you run into that situation, right? If they bring in somebody like Randy Foy and not Udrih, right? Like, yeah. I just don't see that as what's going to happen.
I think Shane Larkin from the University of Miami.
Yeah, maybe a little Miami product. That kind of, is he a free agent?
He is.
Is he restricted? He is.
No, unrestricted free agent at this point. Cool.
That's a little Chalmers chip on his shoulderness. I like that.
Yeah, he has potential, and hey, that UM connection might be a strong boost. You know, Steve Blake is always a free agent at this time of the year, and you don't think he's more of a West Coast guy at this point, although he did play with Detroit last year. But you know, he did play for Miami High alongside a certain Udonis Haslem, so you think maybe he might be an option if they need a veteran point guard. I saw a CBS Sports report saying that Etan Moore would be a good fit in Miami. I'm not sure how likely that is, but you know, that's always a possibility. Gary Neal's a free agent.
When he was at the Magic, I always thought he had a little bit of potential and good 3-point shooter. He doesn't shoot him at a high rate, but at least just because he's like a deep bench guy, but
yeah,
thought he always had potential. He's clearly a good shooter. He just doesn't take a lot of shots because of his role on the teams, but that could be interesting.
What about Rajon Rondo? Would it be a good fit here?
No.
That was more of a joke. I'm pretty sure.
I think every fan listening just threw up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not enough. How about Lance Stephenson?
No, I think it's funny that you bring up Lance. I don't think anybody is going. He might be the only player this free agency to actually take a pay cut.
Yeah.
Like, he might be on his way out of the league.
I know. I think Orlando's going to give him a flyer on the cheap. He's going to reunite with Frank Vogel.
Ooh, I like it.
I hate it. Covering the Magic on a regular basis, I did not want to see Lance Stephenson in the locker room too frequently.
If that happens, you need to just walk up to him in the post game scrum and just blow in his ear.
No. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm pretty sure that's the end of my locker room access.
All right. Well, this wraps up the position preview. This is the point guard edition. You can go back. You can find shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. And I think those are all the basketball positions. We also covered some things. Like, we kind of laced some other stuff in there, right, David? We talked about Kevin Durant, an interesting Bill Simmons article on Pat Riley in the shooting guard one. And I think in the small forward one, we talked about the NBA Finals quite a bit, right?
We did.
So that was all good, juicy stuff. Free agency starts in a couple days, so make sure you're caught up on all of this. We cover all the free agents that the Heat have, all the players already under contract, as well as some potential names that the Heat could be looking for at each of the positions that we covered in the last 5 podcasts. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us through that series, and thank you for continuing to listen. This has been the Heat Check. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Block Talk Radio, part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network. Subscribe, rate us, review us, say nice things about us, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, David.
You got it, Wes. Excuse my charisma, vodka with a spritzer, swagger down pat, call my shit Patricia, young money militia, and I am that commissioner. You don't want to stop easy, cause the F is my finisher. So misunderstood, but what's the world without enigma? 2 bitches at the same time, synchronized swimmers. Got the girl twisted, cause she open when you twist her. Never met the bitch, but I fuck her like I missed her. Life is the bitch, and death is her sister. Sleep is the cousin, what a fucking family picture. You know for all the time.
Thinking about what to get this lunchtime? Go on, live bolder with McDonald's Big Flavour Wraps. Enjoy the sweet chili chicken one with cucumber, cool mayo, crisp lettuce, succulent chicken and a sweet chili sauce in a soft toasted tortilla wrap. Today's $1.99 wrap of the day. Sweet. From 10:30 a.m, participating restaurants only, rest of range available at regular price.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.